numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Tuesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. And oh, and we have that VSiN Plus 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 subscription. That is going to be something. The off-air stuff. We got stuff to do. I would riff on it, but Kelly's mic is out right now, so we'll get there.
Oh, you no, back? I'm good.
Oh, you're good. Okay.
My camera's a little crooked, but I just leaned to the left a bit. You know, so there you go.
Lean back.
Good. Lean back.
Speaking about leaning back with your mind on your money and your money on your mind, Mark Borchardt, who made that, I believe he wrote that initially. He will
yes,
be here.
Yeah.
We still have that.
Original lyrics.
We're going to bring that audio up of him quoting Snoop Dogg. He will be here. Mark Borchardt to talk baseball. What a day of baseball yesterday. What a night. JVT to talk NBA draft. And Kelly, this is the part of the show where it's gone off the rails.
Yeah.
So remember the NFL draft
this year? Oh, yeah, I do. Yeah, I do, Gil.
And how that didn't go as spectacularly well as previous ones. In fact, I'm slow playing that. I'm underselling that. It was awful for many people, including myself, as opposed to all the winning ones before that. This draft, I am thrilled I have nothing. Because I there's a couple mock drafts this morning. Dude, everything you thought you knew, forget about it. We know Wembanyama's going first, and I'm pretty sure now Scoot is going too. But then, man, we got to read through some of these coming up. And JVT, our own JVT, Jonathan Von Tobel, our senior NBA analyst, has his own mock draft.
Yep.
Which he will give us today as well. I wonder if these new ones have swayed him off of that. At all.
I was, I think I caught some of this last night before he did. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, dude, I'm done. I'm like, clean my hands. Like, this is totally turned into NFL draft all over again. Like, the week of stuff is turning upside down that we completely thought we knew. Yeah, like Jonathan Gavoni from ESPN's a guy, I'm one of the respected draft mockers. Like, he's one of the guys that Cam Whitmore. All I've been hearing from Jonathan Gavoni for 2 weeks is he is no way he's falling past five.
Nope.
Mock draft this morning, number 9.
Number 9.
You know how many tweets I got this morning, too? Because I brought it up on this show a couple times about Cam Whitmore. You know, and I bet him going number 5. And you know how many tweets I got this morning? They're like, Kelly, I'm seeing him at like minus 100 or like minus 110 now to go top 5. Should I bet it? And I'm like, yeah. No, don't. I have no idea what's going on
abort
anymore.
Yeah, Matt Norlander from CBS, which I'll read off coming up in the next segment also, looking at some of his top 10, I'm like, that dude's going third? Like, when did that happen? So, again, no one knows anything, and we don't know if there's trades on top of all of that.
And that's the biggest part, the biggest factor of all of this is the Pelicans and Damian Lillard. Mm-hmm. Like, they are two things that, in theory, have nothing to do with the draft, but have everything to do with the draft.
And we talked about yesterday on this show that, you know, everybody's piling on Zion. It's easy. 114 games out of a potential 328. Clearly, he has not been healthy enough to play. It's not a good look when he's out there in warmups, but he never gets in games. And yes, there's the off-the-court stuff. The off-the-court stuff, people like want to pile on that too. When he is on the basketball court, he is elite, period. And so that will always be the overriding factor in all of this. I'll trade for him. I'm still willing to at his age.
Oh, I'm with you, man.
Now, that could end up looking real dumb, but if you're an aspiring GM, you know, who wants to win a championship in the NBA, you take that chance. For sure you do.
I mean, and if Dame is he wants to stay with Portland, but he wants them to add veteran talent or else he's out of here. You're telling me he wouldn't take Zion Williamson that A, could help him win now and help the Pelicans win in the future? How is that not the perfect solution?
Anyway, we like to give bet recommendations on this show. Our NBA draft portion might just be a cautionary tale to tread carefully on all this.
Yeah, I can't imagine making another bet the next few days. Also, so I have that. No idea what's on the TV behind you, but there is like some KKK like rally on TV. I'm assuming this is some kind of documentary.
Let's hope that's on the TV.
And now Rob Manfred's on there.
Oh, okay. There you go. Okay. Let's not relate those two
Sorry,
things.
I was very distracted by what's going on behind you.
Baseball last night, if I may borrow from Deion Sanders, who borrowed from the old 1980s anti-drug commercial, which was this is my brain, this is my brain on crack, which he used to relate to his playing in both baseball and football, where he said, baseball is my brain, football is my brain on crack. That's kind of how I am with sports and sports betting. And so, you know, the nerdiness of baseball always fascinates me. And Luis Arraez last night goes 5-for-5 again for the Miami Marlins and is back to hitting 400. Here we are on June 20th, not quite at the halfway point of the year. And he's batting 400. He had dipped while I was away last week. He had dipped to an egregious 378 because he had three games in a row against Seattle where he didn't get a hit at all. I want to say like 0-13 or 0-14, something like that in that spurt, that stretch. But last night in the Marlins, 11-0 victory. Arraez with a cool 5 singles, couple of ribbies. 11-0 win for the Marlins, who are looking great now. Sarah Langs, who does such a great job at S. Langs on Sports. Looks like Slangs on Sports. Luis Arraez, 400 batting average, is tied for the 9th highest by a qualified hitter in his team's first 73 games since 1941. 1941, obviously, the last time where someone hit over 400. That was Ted Williams, who hit 406 in 1941. And here's the list. So you see Arraez there in a tie for 9th with Chipper Jones. You may remember Chipper Jones hitting 473 games this deep into the Major League Baseball season in 2008. But look at that list. By the way, Andres Galarraga, if you had asked me, who do you think's first on this list, the highest batting average 73 games into a Major League Baseball season? Galarraga, I would have had like 5,000 guesses before I got to him, 420.
I love Galarraga.
The Big Cat.
Big Cat.
I believe he's with the Rockies in 93, I would imagine, the expansion Rockies. But Larry Walker in 97, also a Rocky, 415. Stan Musial, 411. Tony Fernandez, criminally underrated at 410, 73 games into the season. And there was Rod Carew's amazing 1977 season where he ended up hitting 388. He was 407. And you see the rest of the list. But anyway, here's the deal with Arraez. Again, from a betting standpoint in the National League MVP market, I have him at 80-1. Kelly, you were outside of the studio with me a couple weeks ago when a gentleman from, he will remain nameless and the books will remain nameless. Well, the gentleman will remain nameless, so we want to protect him by it, so we won't mention the books. But how I had to go to multiple sports books in town to get the amount of money I wanted down on it. And when we asked him afterwards, because he was the teller at one of the spots where I went, when we asked him why, or I asked him, I said, well, why did they limit me on this? Why did I have to go to multiple books? And he goes, you want me to be honest? I said, sure. And what did he say, Kelly? He said, you picked them off.
Yeah.
I said, what does that mean? He goes, well, they weren't on the job. You saw the number before they did. I was like, what do you mean? So I'm doing their work for them? He's like, yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So Arraez.
That's how it works often.
Yeah. There it is, ladies and gentlemen. That's the state of affairs here. Once they get legalized sports betting, though, here, Kelly, it's going to be awesome. So I got Arraez at 80-1 that day. He's 30-1. He's as low as 25-1 in some other spots. We're showing the DraftKings numbers right here. And the question just becomes, if he can hit 400, well, let's not say 400. Well, let's say 400 first. If he hits 400 for the season, which is obviously a humongous underdog still, but if he were to do that and the Marlins were to make the playoffs, even as a wild card, I'm sorry. I love you, Ronald Acuna Jr., but if a dude's going to hit 400, he's the MVP. And this goes back to my 2012 Miguel Cabrera thing with the Triple Crown. There hadn't been a Triple Crown in 45 years. You must give it to Miguel Cabrera if he gets the Triple Crown. I don't care what your newfangled stats are. You've been talking about this for 4.5 decades. Same thing applies to hitting 400. Now, I will even say this. If he flirts with it, if he's 390-something and the Marlins make the playoffs, I think he might get it. Acuna Jr. is the short shot. He's been awesome. I'm taking nothing away from him. He ought to be, quite frankly, the short shot. What is it with all of his great, traditional numbers when you cite stats for a hitter?
15 homers, 45 RBI.
How about 30 stolen bases? Yeah. Is what I was going to point out as well. A 325, 403, 561 slash, 3.4 WAR. He's been amazing. But here are the players closest to batting 400 since Ted Williams did so in 1941. Again, the list which we talked about: Tony Gwynn, 394 in the strike short in 94 season. And then the two famous seasons when I was a kid, George Brett, 390 in 1980, Rod Carew, 388 in 1977 You see Ted Williams and Larry Walker in there as well. So we'll see. 45% of the season completed, and that's where he is. It's fun to track.
It's been really fascinating. Ever since, you know, I mean, honestly, I kind of first learned about it when you brought it up a few weeks ago. Like, oh, Marlon's playing well. I'm sure he'll be traded soon. But
remember, he won the batting title. It was a low batting average. I think it was like 314. Yeah. But he won the batting title in the AL when 314 would do that for you a couple years back.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see how this plays out. And, I mean, even at the number that it's at, 30-1, I mean, like, if for a flyer bet,
so,
like...
So that's the question. Yes, the 80-1s and the 50-1s are gone, but is it worth still at 25-1 to 30-1? It, like Mark Borchardt said, it's a fun bet. We're not really, and I'm not a big proponent of fun bets. I like bets that win, but that is a fun bet to track on a nightly basis for the rest of the Major League Baseball season. By the way, at Advocate Tussle, another sports book, Kelly, you're familiar with Advocate Tussle. You know who the second short shot is over for National League MVP? Sounds like an old timey sports book. Advocate Tussle.
I had to think about that one for a second.
Carroll of the Diamondbacks, who's the Rookie of the Year favorite currently, is the second short shot behind Acuna Jr.
So that was the other part I was going to bring up. I get it. Acuna Jr.'s, like, his numbers are ridiculous. And, I mean, a lot of these guys are. But I don't, Arias's number, I feel like he should be shorter than that compared to some of these other guys. That's one of the only reason why I still think a 30-1 is...
It's an interesting bet because it's about baseball history and nothing else.
And nothing else.
And that's the appeal I'm trying to make. Again, it's like you can't have a sport steeped in stats like the Triple Crown with Cabrera in 2012, like hitting the mythical 400, and then ignore it if it happens.
So does that making the playoffs then matter?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Because they can't suck either, right? So making the playoffs is the thing to put a lot of these voters over the hump as well. Right now, they would be in playoff position. Those ridiculous NBA draft mocks. Next, we know nothing. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today. Won't take you but a few seconds. Then you stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account. And start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada within minutes. Bam! Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older. And physically located in Nevada, please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Kelly on a bit of a nice tennis run here, 12-3, extending back into the French Open, and that includes a share of dogs as well.
Nice.
Had three picks this morning, but pardon me, but one of them was a cancellation, so we have two picks left. And they are about to, well, no, one of them's about to start in an hour, the next one in a couple hours, so we have time. On the men's side, Alexander Bublik. I got him at minus 121. You might even be able to get him a few pennies better than that. Alexander Bublik, who famously hates clay court tournaments but loves himself some grass. I'm talking about the tennis surface now, Kelly. Bublik, minus 121 against Borna Koric, who's a guy we've bet on many times before to success, but Bublik, I think, gets it done here on his favorite surface. And then on the women's side, a underdog, Alizé Cornet. How'd you like it? That's a great name, Kelly.
Oh, it's a great
name. Alizé.
Where are we at? This is Berlin for the WTA?
Oh, yeah. For the in the men's side, it's in, it's in Halle, I believe it is.
London. Yeah, I see a Halle
I probably
London.
Pronouncing that right. And then Berlin for this particular match between Alizé Cornet and Maria Sakkari.
Gotcha.
And Cornet's at plus 137, give or take a few pennies. So those are the two plays. Bublik and Cornet. Bublik and Cornet, your two tennis plays of the morning. We'll see if we can't continue riding hot here.
So I know there's the different levels, right? The different levels of the tennis tournaments, right? Like the 1,000s or whatever.
Yes, sir.
I don't know how that works. But so what is this? Is this London one a higher level one?
Okay.
So there's like Carlos Alcaraz playing in Tiafo and Andy Murray, Taylor Fritz.
That's correct. So again, it's the Grand Slams, right? The four tournaments, right. The Grand Slams, which is Australian, French, Wimbledon, and the U.S. Open. Then there's the 1,000s, the Masters, right? The 1,000s, which are typically the biggest, not typically, but they are the biggest tournaments in the world that are not the majors.
Indian Wells, Miami Open.
Yeah, Indian Wells considered the fifth major, right? Because it's that big of a 1,000. And then these, again, after that, it's 500s, 250s, and the 125s. 125s, you won't recognize maybe any of the names, maybe one or two.
I played in a couple.
I remember that time you played in a couple. So the one in Halle, Germany that Bublik is playing in is a 500.
Okay.
And the London one is a 500 as well.
So it's basically just like split, kind of like the...
It's a
like,
good tournament.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, 500s are good. They're not great, but they're really good.
But you're kind of splitting the talent for the week.
Yes, correct.
Because it's both of them look like they got good fields.
Yeah, that's absolutely right.
And it's then Sverev and team in this one, right?
And this is all in the run-up to Wimbledon, which starts, I mean, what?
2 weeks?
12 days from now or something like that? 2 weeks?
Wild.
Yeah, don't hold me to the exact, but the grass court season is the shortest of them all. Kelly's like, wild. This is wild.
I always find that, I mean, how often do we have tournaments where the talent pool split like
that? Oh, all the time.
Really that evenly almost?
Oh, I mean, okay. Yeah. You don't necessarily have Alcaraz in one of them on a weekly basis, but like on the women's side, they're split evenly too, right? Because you have, on the one hand, you have... You know, the likes of Krejcikova on one side, just looking at today's, and, you know, then you have Rybakina on another, Sabalenka. I mean, it's a lot of players this week. Anyway.
July 3rd, Wimbledon.
July 3rd. So what's that? That's, 13 days from now. There you go. Okay. We will have, by the way, a Beating the Book Wimbledon preview podcast. We will also have a Beating the Book Baseball Q2 Derivatives podcast between now and then on the Beating the Book feed, where Mark Borchardt and I nerd out. By the way, Mark Borchardt coming up later to talk baseball. So... Kelly and I were talking earlier. The NBA draft is obviously the biggest sports betting story of this week. It's Thursday night. We, of course, already had the lottery. We know the order. The Spurs were the big winners in that. They will get Victor Wembanyama, considered the best prospect since LeBron James. And by the way, if the number on Wembanyama that you're seeing is minus two and then 10 zeros, I believe, Kelly, that represents value. It can't be high enough.
I think I was telling you off air yesterday about the argument JVT and I got in for a minute just because we were confused about what the other person was saying. It's like, no, you're not going to make much money on it, but you're going to make money.
Value is value.
Value is value.
All right. And so,
I mean, minus 20,000 isn't 100%, right? 100%.
That's right. So the Spurs will, here's what we know. The Spurs are going to take Victor Wembanyama from France. This is Matt Norlander's now mock draft from, I want to say, this morning, Kelly, and essentially taking everything we thought we knew. This is from 17 hours ago. This is from yesterday. Essentially taking everything we thought we knew about the draft. Number two, he does have Scoot Henderson going to the Charlotte Hornets.
Ooh.
Because you have Brandon Miller bets at a much better price.
Yeah, I mean, I did take a little of Scoot at plus 160 last week when the Pelicans got in the picture because I was like, oh gosh, this could really blow things up. But no, I have over 8-1 on Brandon Miller to go to and over 5-1 on Scoot to go.
Okay,
three.
So not the worst thing in the world for you, but just not as sexy as Brandon Miller.
No, Scoot to go three.
Oh, Scoot to go three.
Yeah.
Oh, pardon me. You only have plus 160 on him to go two.
Right.
Oh yeah, that's not good for you. Now here's how he continues. I'm gonna leave time for you to do Gavonis here. Norlander's three. Are you ready for this? Derek Lively from Duke.
Is that what? Number
three?
No way.
I told you.
I really like Derek Lively, too. Like I think he's one of those guys that could sneak into the top 10.
Lively at three.
I've seen him as far back as 20.
Yes, that's why I'm bringing this up. At number four is Anthony Black from Arkansas.
This is the most absurd mock I've heard so far.
At number five, there's your Brandon Miller going to Detroit. Brandon Miller from Alabama, mocked as high as two in some drafts. Pick six, he's got Asar Thompson.
So he has Asar before Amen. That's interesting. He's in a small camp of people that have that.
At seven, he's got Jordan Hawkins from UConn going to Indiana. At number eight, he's got Jalen Hood-Schifino from Indiana going to the Washington Wizards. At number nine, then he's got Amen Thompson going to Utah. Thankfully, he's not doing any trades. Listen to this now. He's got Jaime Jaquez Jr. going 10th.
I don't know. What? That mock is...
Then he's got Cason Wallace at 11. Dariq Whitehead from Duke at 12. Jairus Walker all the way down to 13. Cam Whitmore at 14. That's right. We haven't even mentioned Cam Whitmore yet.
Have you said a men, Thompson?
Yes, I already said a men.
Okay.
All right, that's enough. You get the idea.
All right. Would you like Gavoni's updated one this morning over at ESPN?
You're not going to beat that one for wackiness.
I don't think you are. That's the wackiest one I've heard so far. Gavoni this morning, he has Brandon Miller 2 still. He has Scoot 3. Amen Thompson 4. Jairus Walker now 5. This is the guy. I'm like, I haven't heard a word about Jairus Walker in 2.5 weeks. All of a sudden, I see Gavoni on SportsCenter last night, and he's like, we got one riser and one faller to talk about. Jairus Walker climbing up draft boards and Whitmore falling down the board. And I'm like, oh, the guy that you've been talking about has been like a top five lock, basically. So Jairus Walker 5.
Yeah, you're like, thanks. We bet on this stuff.
Yeah, thanks, dude. We bet on this stuff. I don't know. I mean, this is probably a bigger conversation, Gil, because these guys are respected reporters and journalists. They are hearing things from teams that they are reporting, right?
Right.
It is very much the same thing that tripped us up in the NFL draft. So it's how much communication are we getting really from reporters that's actually honest?
So, okay, the difference between Walker and the draft that we just cited is 8 spots, 5 and 13.
Yeah.
So I guess, listen, maybe we have gotten to the point. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I would also say that doesn't matter nearly as much in the NBA draft as it would in the NFL.
It doesn't, but it does raise the point, now that we've come off the NFL draft in this one here. Maybe the days of we had the distinct advantage as bettors in these drafts that the industry has gotten, let's just put it this way. Maybe it's not that the advantage has gone away, but that the industry has gotten, it's become such a cottage industry that there's so many opinions that the net effect is that it ruins everything for you from a betting standpoint. And that in the end, you really don't know what's true and what's not. Whereas 2-3 years ago, even last year, you did know what was happening.
I totally agree, man. And look, we're gonna have Drew Dinsick on tomorrow. Mm-hmm. He'll talk more about this. We're going to have Luke Swain on Thursday. He'll talk more about this right before the draft. Just to finish
Please,
up.
Please, yes.
That was so we had, where did I leave off? 5 with Jairus Walker. 6 is Asar Thompson to the Magic. Amen Thompson at 4 to the Rockets. Taylor Hendricks to the Pacers at 7. Anthony Black to the Wizards at 8. Cam Whitmore to the Jazz at 9. Falls all the way back there. Derek Lively to the Mavericks at 10 is the top 10.
And the one I said it had Lively at 3 and Whitmore at what, 14 or something?
Yeah.
Okay.
When Whitmore was like a top 5 lock.
Two, three days ago, Whitmore was 5, maybe even 4.
Yeah. I'm gonna give you some of the odds shifts on the other side, because I've been tracking this stuff.
And we'll have JVT, Jonathan Von Tobel, our senior NBA analyst, also the host of Hardwood Handicappers, which he does with Kelly, our basketball podcast at VSiN.com/podcast, to join us with his mock draft. And to those, give him pause. It's a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's always football season here at VSiN, which is why we're giving you our 2023 NFL guide early, coming out June 29th. It's 9 days from now. Our NFL betting guide will help you get ahead of the upcoming NFL season with in-depth profiles of every team, including advanced stats, proven betting systems, and proprietary betting trends, plus best bets on season win totals, futures, and props. Become a Visa Pro subscriber today for as low as $19 and reserve your copy of the guide, or take advantage of our summer kickoff special and get access to everything we do through the Super Bowl for only $175. That's at VSiN.com/subscribe. Once again, VSiN.com/subscribe for the summer kickoff special. Just $175. Gil Alexander is Kelly Bidlin. We love to have him on the show whenever he has the time. Man's got 2 kids. He's got things to do. He's also got a podcast called Hardwood Handicappers, which he does with our own Kelly Bidlin, available at VSiN.com/podcast. You can follow him on Twitter at MeJVT. He's our senior NBA analyst. He's Jonathan Von Tobel. How you doing, JVT?
My head is spinning. There's a lot going on in the NBA draft rumor world. We know nothing, so I feel very confused right now, Gil.
We know nothing. I don't know if you... We were just going through a couple mocks from this morning, and it's just ridiculous. Now, let me just... We do want to caveat one of the mocks that we just did. So the one that I just talked about was from CBS Sports, and Matt Norlander did something... I guess if we're reading in the fine print, he did something different. He didn't do a mock draft. He didn't do a big board. He ended up doing what he called a mock draft, but it was like who he thinks was going to be the best players in 10 years. So let's throw that one out.
Yeah. I don't understand how that made any
sense. Don't attach those to teams then. But your Gavoni one is off the rails too. JVT, you have your own mock draft. Has any of this stuff swirling given you pause?
Yeah, absolutely. I think so. The big one is, I think what's happening with Cam Whitmore out of Villanova, I think that's like the big one, because for anybody who hadn't been following this up to this point, Cam Whitmore, by all accounts, since this draft process has started, has always been floating inside that top five range. Five always seemed to be a ceiling. I mean, back in, Kelly can correct me, I think we had Raphael Barlow from the NBA Big Board back in May, and we talked about Cam Whitmore wasn't going to get past five.
Yep.
And there was no indication that that was going to be the case up until last night, where Jonathan Gavoni goes on SportsCenter and says, oh yeah, Whitmore's falling, and that's going to be represented in my mock draft. And then you open up the mock draft this morning, and Whitmore is all of a sudden the ninth overall selection for the Utah Jazz. And the fact that it happens this week, I think, gives me a little trepidation as like, is that legitimate information we're getting, or is that something that's happening that's getting put out there by whoever wants him, whether it be four or five, whatever it's going to be? I just don't know. But that's, I think that to me is the big one, because Whitmore is almost like a linchpin. If Whitmore is going to go number four, for example, well, that would cause Amen Thompson to slide potentially to number six, which is what I had in my mock draft. And if that's going to happen, that means guys like a Jairus Walker could potentially slide down to like seven or something. So it's a really big deal, I think, for Whitmore, because there was no indication up until the last 12 hours that this dude was going to be anything but a top five pick. And now all of a sudden he's on the fringes of the top 10, according to at least one industry insider.
Yeah. That was the Gavoni mock draft that we just read earlier that has him there. You also, and we can go through these one by one, but you have Amen before Asar, which we're seeing opposite in some places as well, just in terms of matchups. Jairus Walker, we're seeing a lot of difference with him, Anthony Black. I mean, all these guys, right? That's what Kelly and I were talking about off air. If it were just Cam Whitmore, then you could isolate on him and like, oh, wow, there's a difference of opinion on Cam Whitmore. But honestly, it feels like everybody now, except for, I will say the one exception, I do agree with, so everybody knows about Wembanyama, but I do kind of feel like the only thing else I might know right now is that Scoot is going to. Does it feel that way to you?
Yo, see, here's the thing, and this is what's fascinating, and actually I just put a piece up on the website right now, kind of sifting through all the rumors and the intel that we've seen up to this point. This is the one where the market seems to be at odds with some of the information that we're getting. So, for example, you know, we have the Scoot Henderson's the $2.50 favorite to go number two. Brandon Miller's the $2.50 favorite to go number three. However, 2 days ago, Adrian Wojnarowski reports that industry, you know, people in front offices are penciling, he's put it, Scoot Henderson to go number two. And then, Brandon Miller to go number two. And then you have Jonathan Gavoni in his latest mock draft saying, yeah, Scoot Henderson showing out some of these workouts, but we still have Miller going number two. But the odds are completely flipped. So it's really interesting to look at something like that and see what's happening. I would think that that means that maybe there's some information out there that one of these trades or both of these trades are happening. And what I mean by that is Charlotte getting out of that number two spot for somebody to go in and get Scoot Henderson, which would be the New Orleans Pelicans. The Portland Trailblazers getting out of three. Pascal Siakam is the name there. And Toronto's going to get up and potentially get Brandon Miller there. So it's really weird, because if the teams stick where they're at, every bit of information says it's going to be Miller number two and Scoot Henderson number three, but the odds say Scoot Henderson number two and Brandon Miller number three. And it's all over the place.
What makes the most basketball sense if there are no trades? The Hornets should take.
I think in basketball sense, it would be Brandon Miller, but I do think Scoot Henderson fits better than most people think. But if I'm building the team, I think it's probably going to be Brandon Miller, just because you already have LaMelo Ball. He's a wing player, 3-and-D type. Everybody covets those. He fits seamlessly next to him. With Scoot Henderson, you can make it fit, but there's going to be a little bit of work there. And we see like those two dominant guard teams, i.e. like the Atlanta Hawks. You got some stuff to really work out if you got two dominant guards there that could ultimately flash out, but we don't really know yet. So I think if you're talking about most basketball sense, Brandon Miller, if Charlotte's going to be there, would be the pick.
And your spider sense is on a Zion trade? High?
Yeah. I think this is interesting because, I'll actually bring in the Phoenix Suns to this, Gil. We've seen what new ownership can do in terms of changing the course of a team. By all accounts, Matt Ishbia had his fingerprints all over the Kevin Durant trade, and he really had a strong push behind this Bradley Beal trade. And I bring that up because Charlotte is exchanging ownership, right? Michael Jordan is now shifting to a minority owner, and new owners want to drum up some excitement for their product. And what better way to do that than to get the kid who played, right, college up the street, And when you look at the excitement of what Zion Williamson and LaMelo Ball could be together, when you're talking about running in transition, playing an exciting brand of basketball, I think it's a little bit more of a reality than we think. And almost every single mock draft that you read, guys like Rafael Barlow and others, there is that note that still this is being talked about as a potential that the Charlotte Hornets are going to get out of that selection. So I would say that it's more realistic than most think, but I do think it's shifted from Portland being potentially the team to Charlotte potentially being the team to land Zion.
Zion 35-1 to win the MVP no matter where he plays. And I'll say this, I said at the beginning of the show, let me be the, I feel like I'm on an island. I would trade for Zion 100 out of 100 times. I know the health, not being able to get in shape after the injuries. I know the off the court stuff. Give me that dude. I'll take my chances because he's amazing.
Off the court stuff.
Yeah. The off the court stuff. I hear she's lovely, JVT. I hear she's lovely.
She's still tweeting. That's pretty incredible.
He's still tweeting. That's right. Okay. Let me ask it this way because I want to finish with your thoughts on the Bradley Beal thing real quick. But how many bets have you made that you regret thus far? And how many more do you think you will make?
I don't really regret. Like, so for example, Kelly and I, we talked about this a couple of months back. We both got some pretty good plus prices on Brandon Miller to go with the second overall pick. It's still better than the prices that are out there. So, it might be wrong, but you don't really regret that that's going to be the fact, especially because there's some conflicting intel. And I think there's going to be a couple more. Like, for example, it's a boring bet, but one of the things I've been surprised about, Grady Dick has been nowhere near the top 10. And he's like, I shouldn't say nowhere near. He's been solidly at 11. Like, I've never seen him leak inside of the top 10 in any mock draft that I have read. And yet his draft position prop is 10.5, shaded to the over -250. I think that price is pretty safe to bet, just given the fact that there's been no indication that Grady Dick's going to find his way inside. And in fact, there's some indications that he might be a little bit further down than most people think. So I think that's one to definitely start to add to your portfolio. And one that I did add was a small ticket on Bilal Coulibaly at 10-1 to go #9. Barlow over at NBA Big Board has reported that the Jazz want Kante George with their second first round pick, and he wants Bilal Coulibaly with the 9th overall pick. And I think that's something that could happen. So took flyers on that.
So great hearing like some of these French announcers pronounce Bilal Coulibaly.
I did. Yeah. I bet so him great. To go top 10 last night at over 2-1.
Who?
Yep.
Bilal Coulibaly.
Oh, okay.
But then, of course, Gavoni's mock draft, I think, had him at 16 today. Yep. So cool.
Sweet. But you'll tread lightly from between now and then. I mean, JVT's Intel report, by the way, and his mock draft at vsin.com. Check him out today because JVT's all over all of this. So it's going to be, again, top 10. You can bet all these things. Yep. Good on the books that have multiple markets for the NBA draft over 48 hours away. Real quick in our last 60 seconds, Bradley Beal, I think from just a basketball viewing standpoint, we're all excited to see those three guys, Book, KD, and Beal, playing with each other. But you're with me on the fact that this doesn't really move the championship needle for you that much?
Absolutely. In fact, I told Kelly, I can't wait to find ways to bet against them. And I just don't really love it from a championship build. Hey, look, if they play a bunch of games, they're going to win a lot of regular season games potentially, but the NBA postseason is different. You've got to be able to attack the glass. You've got to have depth. Those are things that this Phoenix Suns, at least as currently constructed, do not have. And I just don't know where you're going to go and get that. And sure, like, can you flip DeAndre Ayton for some bodies for your bench and then go get any one of the free agent centers that is going to be available? I guess. But that's just not something that I think is going to benefit you as a team. And again, I know it sounds crazy because they're all elite mid-range scorers, but if you're going to build a team amount mid-range shooting and not take a whole bunch of threes, you're going to lose that math battle more often than not. You're not going to be able to get on the glass. I don't know who's playing defense for that team under Frank Vogel. I just don't really like the mix overall as a championship team. So maybe they go over the win total if everybody's going to be healthy. That's a big question, but I'm with you. Like, moving them up to the third choice to win the NBA Finals, I don't get it.
Ishby's calling the league office right now. He's like, can we play with only 6 players all year? Is that allowed? Are we allowed to do that? 4 on the court at once. JVT, good luck with all the bets, man. Should be fun on Thursday.
Yep, can't wait, guys. Thank you very much.
Jonathan Montobel, again, VSiN.com for his intel report and for his latest mock draft. Not sure if he's going to have one more prior to the draft itself on Thursday night. A lot of players going different places, NBA and NFL. Dalvin Cook, DeAndre Hopkins, Dame Lillard, Draymond. You can bet on them all. That's next.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Turn a loss into a win with BetMGM, the official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. Place a same game parlay wager with at least 4 legs on any MLB game. And if all legs of the parlay hit but one, you'll get your stake back in bonus bets up to $25. Only at BetMGM, the best place to bet on baseball. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help make appropriate choices. BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 and over or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, Nevada, and New York. We get texts. We get tweets. Let me go some texts. This is from Michael Montesano. He won the booby prize back at Circa the first year. Good dude. He says, my feelings about all this with the NBA draft is you can't take any of these ESPN, CBS, Yahoo, et cetera guys seriously. Beat writers, the most important. Most of the time, they're getting fed solid info from their sources when they're the organization. Look at Woj last year. He was sure Jabari was good number one. Most of these teams want smoke screens out there, so teams don't take their guy they want, so they get fake info leaked to the mainstream media. Just my opinion. Very solid opinion.
I think there is without a doubt some of that. I think the question is, it's how much, right? It's to what degree are we talking?
Dude, the Boncaro high last year was unlike anything. I sat here, I was just like, I'm betting Boncaro. None of this makes any sense. And then right before the draft, it was the greatest thing in the world.
I was all over Chet last year. I was dead wrong. I was dead wrong last year too. I mean, going back to that real quick, though, like yesterday. Like, when we talk about smoke screens, like, okay, I usually buy into most of this information, right, Gil? That workout yesterday is still one of the most bizarre scenarios.
The Scoot, Brandon Miller, yes, Michael Jordan is still present workout?
So, days after Michael Jordan goes from majority owner to minority owner, even though it sounds like he will still be the operational owner for at least the next month. So, let's all keep that in mind first. And then they bring Brandon Miller and Scoot Henderson both back to work out when they've already worked out for the teams. Now, it might make sense to me if you said just Brandon Miller, because apparently he was dealing with mono in the early workout process with this. So maybe you wanted another look at him, but by all accounts, Scoot Henderson had this amazing workout for the Hornets the first time around. So you're bringing both these guys back. You're really telling me that 4 days before the draft, you have no freaking clue which one of these guys you're going with? That's right. I just don't know if I believe that.
It's like the people before the presidential election. I'm still not really decided on this guy.
Just like we said about the dang Panthers the whole time, right? It's like, no, they knew exactly who they were taking. We were just dead wrong on it.
Will Hill, our own Will Hill, VEASAN's own, when listening to our segment, he goes, man, I'm going to throw my phone in the ocean to stop myself from taking anything. I text him back. I said, me too. 3 minutes later, he comes back with, I just made three bets since I sent that text.
When I sent it to you off air, or I think off air, maybe on air, I was like, I think I'm done at this point with bets. I put that Coulibaly one in last night. I think I'm done.
Coulibaly.
But I do completely agree with what JVT said on Grady Dick. But I looked around right now. The best I can find on that is over 10.5 minus 250. I'm not laying 250 on anything in this draft right now.
Jesse Welch. Damn, Kelly. I can't personally bet bet Whitmore top five, but I truly think this is a last-minute smokescreen.
That's what Jesse was tweeting me this morning. He was like, what are these odds?
Yeah. All right, so a lot of these players, by the way, but Fezzik also texting in, he goes, I love Borchardt, don't have him have a parlay today. He's preempting segments.
You missed Jesse's last tweet. It was the better one.
Which one?
This dude's mock draft is the equivalent of Kelly's college football guessing line segment.
Oh, I didn't get that one. How dare you mock, let's see what I did here, mock Kelly's college football guessing line segment. We've got to bring that back this year.
Oh, yeah.
So we got players, both in the NBA and the NFL, that are available for hire, and sports books are putting out markets who their next team will be. Let's start with the NBA players, and let's specifically start with the notion of Draymond Green, which, let me just say right off the bat, what are we doing here? Because if Draymond Green, who, by the way, he decided not to exercise his option there yesterday, but the Warriors, you know, Mike Dunleavy, who's now the GM, Mike Dunleavy Jr., he's like, yeah, no, we want Draymond back. Draymond on record is saying he wants to come back. And yet here we are. Where will Draymond play next season? If Draymond Green ends up with another team, let me just put it this way, Kelly. You know how people say there are win-win situations? This would be a lose-lose-lose.
Yes.
The Warriors would lose, the team he gets would lose, and Draymond would lose. What are we doing?
Well, hold on. I'll say lose-lose and meh, because maybe Draymond gets as much money or more money than he could have.
That team would be so stupid. Because Draymond Green, listen, He's won four championships, but Draymond Green is more valuable as a Warrior, exponentially more than he is for any other team.
He plays one of the most niche positions that he has made himself into, right? He is as unique of a player as there is in the NBA.
Yes.
That doesn't translate to every team in the NBA.
Or any team, maybe.
Or almost any team.
What about if I played devil's advocate, if I said Lakers plus 550 because he has this relationship with LeBron?
Well, you know, I don't know if you caught the hot goss on the social.
But I like hot goss.
Those two are in France together, apparently.
Oh, are they really?
Yeah.
Pronouncing Koulibaly.
Yeah. So I guess that's why. I don't know why the Lakers.
So I'm glad I brought it up then. I didn't even know that. So that's the one case you could make.
Oh, I've got actually, I don't even know. That one I hate that one because what kind of offensive.
Oh, it's terrible, dude. He's staying with the Warriors.
Like, I went through these yesterday.
I'm just talking.
No, yeah. No. JVG and I went through these yesterday and we're like, the Lakers are the second shot? I'm like, you have no spacing whatsoever on offense.
It's because he's buddies with LeBron. Like, that's the only reason.
LeBron, Draymond, and AD on the court at the same time? Like, nobody could shoot a three. Like, you're just running into each other. What's going on? What are we
Draymond
talking about?
Just screaming at people.
Right. I think there's two teams. Like, only two teams to me that remotely make sense. Mavericks and Memphis.
Besides the Warriors.
I think the Warriors make a ton of sense. Would the other two teams.
Why the Mavericks and the
Mavericks?
Grizzlies?
Mavericks because it allows, they've always had this problem of how to play Luka Doncic, right? You play him as your main point guard. You play him off ball a little bit. We saw that a little bit when Jalen Brunson was there. This adds another distributor to your offense that allows you to do more things with Luka Doncic.
Listen, no one loves the Warriors more than I do. If you're an owner of another team or a GM of another team, do you want to deal with Draymond?
No, not at all.
No.
Not at all.
What are we talking? Like, would you lay the minus 170?
Yes.
I know it was plus 150 yesterday.
Yes.
I'd still lay the minus 170.
Yes.
Yes.
I fully expect this is what's happening. And as soon as I heard this news.
Lose.
It was okay. He's ending his contract. This was a big deal, and especially with the Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
We have this second apron thing kicking in the NBA where the luxury tax penalties that teams like the Warriors, the Miami Heat, these other teams that with wealthy owners who have not cared about having to pay all this money, that's coming to an end because these teams are going to start to be penalized with draft picks,
mm-hmm.
some of the veteran minimum stuff. So everybody has to redo the books, basically.
Yes.
What the Warriors are doing, Wiggins, when he re-signed last summer, took less money. Basically, they have to get everybody in that core on the same track. So I fully expect Draymond Green to sign for probably more years than he should
mm-hmm.
with Golden State for far less money to keep this rolling for the next few years.
You have said it beautifully. That is exactly what's happening. It's all financial. It's all NBA rules related. And that is why the Warriors at minus 170 is still a good bet, in my humble opinion. Now, this also, of course, Damian Lillard is, you know, this is every year, every month of every year. And here we are before an NBA draft. And it's rumored again that Damian Lillard could finally be on the move from the Blazers. But the Blazers are still a bigger favorite to get him back than the Warriors were to get Draymond. Minus 215 at DraftKings with the Heat at plus 140. Let me just ask you this. Everybody else is double digits. If you believe that Lillard ends up with the Heat, wouldn't you bet Heat futures instead of this?
Yes. Great question, and I hadn't really thought about that way. Absolutely.
Because that would, for me, even, I'd be like, oh, I'm betting Heat futures.
Yeah. Oh, me too. Lillard jumps there, I'll be betting them immediately, which I know is weird for people that have listened to me this year to talk about.
What's your gut tell you? That he remains a Blazer after all this?
Yeah. Yeah, but it's yes, but I'm softening my position on that. Even though the odds they've been around minus 200. They got down, I think, to as low as like minus 150 yesterday and then shot back up. Because by all reports, we're at a standstill right now between basically Dame and the Blazers. Dame wants to be on the Blazers, but has told them that
I need
added veteran help.
Yes. Very reasonable.
And if you don't do it,
yeah.
I want to be traded. So now the Blazers front office is saying, they're like, well, okay, do we do that? Or do we blow this up, draft someone with the third pick, and kind of rebuild this thing?
This one I would not bet.
I think now, I'd stay away from this one.
Yeah.
This has gone too far. Like, I thought something would be figured out a little bit more with Dame before now. this really does sound like these two sides are kind of at a standstill.
I'd love, just from a basketball perspective, I'd love to see him elsewhere.
Me too.
No disrespect to the good people of Portland, but it's kind of...
Unless Zion goes.
Unless Zion goes there,
David,
and then that'll
Zion,
be awesome.
I will watch every single...
That would be awesome. But I never thought Bradley Beal would leave D.C. So that happened. This would be awesome if it did as well. But I would stay away from that bet specifically. Mark Borchardt, Major League Baseball. Can the Giants ever be stopped? The Reds either. It's next.